Well, thanks, Ken. Welcome again. Good to have you all here this morning. Before I bring the message, I just want to bring a few announcements to your attention here. Some things to be aware of that are upcoming. Be sure, if you haven't yet this week, to look at your newsletter. I mean, you might have a paper one, or maybe you have one just on an email that you received, and there's always lots of stuff in there to be aware of, just so you know what is upcoming. I'll just mention a few items that are in here for you. It talks about an upcoming virtual wedding shower that we're having for Kim DeYoung and Joel Garnett, happening in a few weeks. Contact Carol Van Ruskenveld if you want to be part of a group gift, and contact her by this Thursday, please, May 14th. And also get along to her some recipes to give to the couple as well. So that's one thing that's in here. Excuse me. Next Sunday afternoon, we are having a car rally. And this is like a live thing, real people, not just a video. And so contact Tim Wilson for more details about that. But that will be happening next Sunday afternoon. There have been a number of online studies that have been happening, Bible studies. MOPS is still happening. Online youth group happens every Friday evening. And some in-person events will be happening soon this week coming. So Wednesday morning, we're starting with our Wednesday morning prayer meeting again. So come along to be a part of that. And the newsletter also has links to a survey, as well as a number of Awana and children's resources and so on. So please avail yourself of the newsletter. Let me just pray, and then we will begin our time. Father in heaven, we thank you again that we can be here and that we can look in your word and that we can hear from you even when we're far apart from each other. And so just bless us as we hear what you have to say. That's this Mother's Day, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so today is Mother's Day, and traditionally here at the chapel on Mother's Day, we've had a family service where there's no Sunday school classes and everybody is all together here. I guess this past while we've been having family services every week because we haven't been having Sunday school. But anyways, I'm just thinking about when we had family services, and usually we start with a kids talk. And so today we're going to have a kids message as we begin before we get into some other stuff. So we're going to start by playing a game that we call Would You Rather. Okay, and so here's how it works. I'm going to say something and you have to say, well, let me just read the first one. And then you'll do as I do, depending what you like. So I'll say, would you rather have cookies or would you rather have French fries? So you'll put up the cookies hand or the French fries hand, one or the other for all these different things. Okay? So you can, the kids can come to the front if they want, or you can all do it. Usually we do it where you run from one side of the room to the other, and you can do that too if you want. So that was the first one. Would you rather have cookies or French fries? Okay? I can't see what you're doing where you're putting your hands up, but so you'll have to just be honest. Okay, here's the next one. Would you rather be good at sports, or would you rather have good grades? You have to pick one or the other. You can't sit on the fence. You have to choose one or the other. Okay, here's the next one. Would you rather be invisible, or be able to be invisible, sorry, or would you rather have the ability to fly? So you have to choose one or the other. Okay, would you rather be a police officer or a firefighter? Okay, Trevor, we know. Okay, would you rather be in prison for 5 years in solitary confinement and then be rich when you came out, or not ever go to prison but not ever become rich? Okay, would you rather have hiccups the rest of your life or sneeze the rest of your life? Oh, I forgot, hiccups or sneeze. Okay, would you rather be blind or deaf? Okay, these are a little more thinking now. Would you rather be the worst player on the best team or the best player on the worst team? Okay, would you rather be an amazing dancer or an amazing singer? Okay, listen carefully to this one. I'll have to read it too. Would you rather stay up late to get the work done, have to wake up in the night with a crying baby, give up some of your dreams and ambitions, work hard all the time, or not have to do all that? In other words, let me say it another way. Would you rather be a mother or have a mother? Okay, it's kind of fun a little bit to think about what you'd rather do. But we're not always going to have to make that kind of decision in life, but it's fun to pretend. But think about the last few that I shared about your mom and all that she does for you. Because your mom does a lot, doesn't she? I brought a few things here. So sometimes our moms are kind of like the social convener, you know, like the one who, the party girl in the house, right? Okay, or sometimes your mom has to be like your protector and has to put on her hard hat to take care of you, right? Or sometimes, you know what? I put on the wrong hat. Sometimes your mom has to be a repairman. That's what this one was, a repairman, and has to put on her hard hat. Or here's a protector one. Sometimes she has to be a protector, okay? Put on her fireman's hat. Or sometimes your mom gets to be a chauffeur. I didn't know what to wear for that. Okay? Or so many other things, right? There's so many things that our mom is. Those things that I said, and a chef, and a coach, and a hairdresser, and a detective, and a nurse, and a teacher, and a secretary, and a maid, and a motivational speaker, and a nutritionist, and a nanny, and a storyteller, and a counselor, and a seamstress, and on we could go. Think about something. What does your mom do for you? Think of some of the things that she does for you, because there are so very many of them. Now what I want you to think about is tell me something that you can do for your mom. What can you do for your mom, you guys down here at the front? What could you do for her? Right? If we had a mic, I'd go to the kids and they'd say things like, I could obey her, or I could help her make supper, or help her clean, or say I love you, or do something without being asked. Those are the kind of things that you can do for your mom. Moms do an awful lot for us. We're going to watch a video for a couple of minutes that talks about all that moms do. It's made by MOPS, which is the Mothers of Preschoolers, a group which meets here amongst thousands of other churches. So watch it, and so then we'll continue after the audio on our website. You wouldn't have seen the video that I just talked about a moment ago. But the video talked again about all the things that moms are to us. So, Mother's Day. A little girl was sitting and watching her mother as she did the dishes at the kitchen sink. And as she was sitting, she looked, and all of a sudden she noticed, and she said, Mom, you have some white hairs. Why are some of your hairs white, Mom? And so her mom stopped and thought for a minute, and then she said, well, every time you do something wrong, one of my hairs turns white. The little girl sat and thought about that for a minute, and then she said, Mom, why are all of Grandma's hairs white? Mother's Day. Thinking of Mother's Day and my mom, my kid's grandma, my extended family, like my siblings and their families, a few years ago we made a family cookbook. And in it was filled with recipes that we had as we grew up, and other recipes as well. And also full of stories from when we were growing up. And a lot of them were ones that were teasing my mom. Things like, you know, my mom would always say, well, on your way, can you pick up this? But, of course, she knew it wasn't always on the way, right? So we do that a lot, don't we? We like to tease our moms or the mother of our children, right? But then eventually we realize that they really do know something. Let me read the thing called The Ages of Motherhood. At age 4, we say, my mom can do anything. At age 12, mom doesn't know everything. And at age 14, mom doesn't know anything. At age 18, mom is so out of step with things. By age 25, well, mom does know a few things. And then at age 35, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. Age 45, I wonder what mom would say about this. And at age 65, I wish that I could talk with my mom. Because moms really do know a lot more than we think. I read of 4 pastors who were discussing the merits of the various translation of the Bible. And one liked the King James Version the best because he said, because of its simple and yet beautiful English prose. Another liked the New International Version because of its modern language. The third said that he liked the Message even better since it was a paraphrase and spoken really modern language. The fourth pastor was silent, and when he was asked to express his opinion, he said, I like my mother's translation the best. And the other said, your mother translated the Bible? And he replied, oh, yes, she certainly did. My mother translated the Bible into her everyday life, and it was the most convincing translation that I have ever seen. So we're going to think about mums here a bit today. Take your Bible, hopefully you have one with you, and turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, I want to read to you a story about a mum and see what it can say to us that we can take with us as we go through today. So Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to read at verse 11. And it says, I'm reading from the NIV. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. So we learn a little bit about Jesus and a little bit about mums in this passage, and I'd like to see what we can get out of it. We see here a woman who has gone through a lot. Her past was full of sorrow. Her husband had died. It says that she was widowed. And there are many of you listening who have had that happen. I have no idea what that's like. But the love of her life, who had always been there for her, wasn't any longer. And so her life had been one that we see had been full of sorrow. And not only was her past sad, but her present was too. For now she had lost her son as well. And again, I can't begin to know what that's like, though some of you can. The one who had filled some of the hole that had been left when her husband died, now he had also died. It doesn't tell us what had happened, how that came to be, but as far as the mother was concerned, it didn't matter. He was gone. So her past and her present and her future too was affected, because it says this was her only son. The person who would have taken care of her when she was old was no longer there to be able to do that. Her life was full of sorrow that day, the past, the present, and the future. But despite that, we can see that she was a loving woman, for it also says that a large crowd from the town was there with her. People had been affected by her and came to express their sympathy to her. There was a large crowd. That says to me that she was a caring woman. And then Jesus shows up on the scene. And what does it do? It says his heart went out to her. He consoles her. And then brings her son back to life. His compassion flows out. But I was thinking about the mother here. And what we see is that she was willing to leave her son in Jesus' hands. She was willing to give him to Jesus. I was looking on a map of Israel to where Nain was, because she's the widow of Nain, right? Not far from Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. It was on the side of a hill called Mount Moriah. We wouldn't here in Alberta call it a mount, because they don't really have mountains in Israel as we know them. But anyways, just on the other side of the hill, so maybe just like less than a mile away, is another town called Shunem. And intriguingly, if you turn back to 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a story there from the story of Elisha. Elisha used to pass through this part of the country, and when he did, he stayed in Shunem, in a room that a woman had set up for him in her home. It says in that story in 2 Kings 4 that she and her husband had no children. She was barren. But Elisha told her that they would, and miraculously they did. Sometime later, the child died, and the woman came to Elisha and essentially left the child in Elisha's hands. Does that not sound familiar? He also was brought to life again. I think it's more than just a coincidence that Jesus came to this very place. People there would remember the story of a mother leaving her child in the prophet's hands. And here, the widow of Nain did the same. She left her child in the hands of Jesus. I was thinking of the story of Hannah as well, Samuel's mother from the Old Testament. She had been barren. God gave her a son, and when he was weaned, like preschool age, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, that she gave him to God. She left him in the hands of Eli. She gave him to God. There are other similar stories to these as well, but this is a very common theme in them. Their mothers left them in God's hands. So it's Mother's Day, and we want to see what we can see as we think about a story like that. From these stories, mothers, parents, we are encouraged to put our children in the hands of Jesus. What better place could we leave them? The video we watched earlier from Mom said, "You are not alone. God is with you." Said that over and over. So mothers out there, mothers, we thank you. We thank you for all you've been and are to all of us. We thank you for being willing to do all that, and even more, for being willing to leave us, or to leave our children, in God's hands. Like the Shunammite woman, like the widow from Nain, and like Hannah, knowing that you could, because God is with you, or because you are with God. Let me pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for mothers. We thank you especially for those who have put us in your hands, in your loving hands. Bless them, Father. I pray also for all those who are listening today. If any have not yet learned of your love, that they would turn to you. We pray, Father, also for those amongst us who are in difficult times, who have lost loved ones, who have lost employment, who are maybe sickly. So many around us and amongst us who are in need of prayer, Father. And so we lift them up to you now. And we pray that as one day we can gather again together in person, we so look forward to the love that you have flowing through us to those around us. So thank you again for this day. just ask your blessing on those mothers in our midst and just pray that we will continue to hear from you. Help us as we go through this week. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us again here this morning, and we look forward to seeing you again.